And welcome back, everyone, to the Endurance Hour Podcast, episode 240, the final podcast of 2017. Alongside Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. And we're going to do a year in review, or looking back on the year, and a little bit of a looking forward for 2018. So, Wendy, welcome back. How are you feeling today as we approach the holidays and the end of the year?
I'm feeling good, as usual. I like the end of the year. I like, you know, everyone seems to be happy and in the festival mood. This will be my second year in Georgia, so my second year celebrating the Christmas and New Year's holidays with family. I have my virtual swim challenges that I do on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve that I do with mostly my Colorado friend Kirsten. That's who we started this together 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm looking forward to those upcoming challenges. And you know, now that we're doing this, you know, just the season reflection, and I haven't necessarily done a season reflection, and a lot of athletes are asking me what my 2018 goals are. And, you know, I loosely have a 2018 plan, but I'm such a present moment person that I'm continuously reflecting back on the past, and that helps guide my future. But I'm more or less a very present person. It's a personality thing.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade your 2017 triathlon season? I don't know if success is necessarily the word I want to use, but on how you feel it went.
Well, we talked about success in the last podcast, and one of my definitions of success relating to racing is race execution.
Okay.
And so when I'm thinking in those terms, I believe maybe an 8 or a 9. I battled quite a few injuries early in the season, and probably my most proudest moments that was most successful for me from that helped my races is my injuries are gone, and to be able to get a handle on issues I've had most of my life, you know, training for triathlons, to find a good doctor, a chiropractor who does active release technique, to go to him on a monthly basis and make sure I'm staying strong and make sure I'm doing my exercises and having that accountability. He's kind of my accountability coach. It's working for me. And just to overcome some of these injuries that sometimes, because I've been in the sport for 26 years, sometimes I think, oh my God, am I done? You know, one time when I had my knee issue this year, I've never had knee issues, and I'm like, oh my God, do I need a knee replacement? Am I done? Are my hips, am I going to need a hip replacement? Because my hips hurt so bad. You know, with the wear and tear on my body for 26 years, I'm just really happy that I've overcome it and I've executed all my races as close to planned as I possibly could have. So I think it's been a pretty, let's give it a 9.
Wow. Wasn't there a race, whether it was Boulder or Texas, where you had not run leading up to it because of an injury?
Yeah, that was Ironman Texas.
Okay.
So I had a pretty bad ankle injury going on. I mean, it was so painful. And so I've been injured before that I know I just got to stop running. And I pretty much stopped running. I sustained the injury in early February. And I didn't meet the active release technique doctor until a week before Texas. Mm-hmm. Being new to the area, I just lost all my contacts that I had in Colorado. So to meet him at a race, at a 5-mile event that my husband was doing, to get some treatment from him. And I told him, I go, you do a good job. You got a client. And so he spent a lot of time with me, and I felt and I understood exactly what was going on in my body. He explained it so well. He had such good knowledge that I could relate to, that I went down to Texas a little bit more confident because of this one treatment I had from him. And I went into Texas still in a lot of pain, not really knowing if I was going to blow up my Achilles or not, because my injury was so close to my Achilles. I kind of went into it with an attitude of, you know, you may drop out after the bike. It's not worth sustaining any further damage. But I think because I took care of myself for 8 weeks by not running and doing other cross-training activities, that I got off the bike and I paced the bike so well, and I had an okay swim, but I was able to get off the bike in a good placing, and I just have so much experience at the Ironman distance event that I knew what I needed to do to qualify, that I was able to run pretty successfully with the injury. That only gave me more confidence going into Kona, which I qualified at in Ironman Texas.
Was this the race where you kind of hit a wall and were walking, and then you heard that maybe you could catch up and get back into the lead or get back in onto the podium?
I did that in November at Ironman Cozumel 2016.
Okay.
I walked 2 miles of that race, and I learned a lot from that race. I learned that I do good with pretzels, and that my walking was more mental. It was probably more mental than physical. And so that drove me to want to do Ironman Texas. But no, in Ironman Texas, my goal was, no matter what, unless I was going to drop out because I was injured, I was going to run. And I did not allow myself to walk in Texas because I knew I was battling, you know, making top four. I knew I was in that third or fourth place. And so I knew if I walked, it was all over. And that my why of wanting to qualify for Kona was so strong because it was my 20-year anniversary, that was driving in my mind. That was going on in my mind. Don't walk, don't walk, don't walk. And I was able to sustain the injury pain. It was kind of at a low grade level that I was okay. And it just makes me happy that I can have such experiences to share with other people, because I coach athletes who get injured and they think it's all over. We're done. We can't do it. I'm like, no, you can, because this is what has happened to me and I've done it.
Yeah. What was the results of that race? Where were you? What was your placing, and who was behind you?
I was actually in, coming off the bike, I think I was in second. I thought I was in fourth, but okay. I was in top four, make it. I thought I was in fourth, and I was actually in second until about mile 18 or 20, a girl in my age group passed me. So then I'm like, okay, I'm either in fourth or fifth. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I ended up getting third in my age group. I don't remember the names of the women ahead of me. I don't care, because I was going for top four. And I knew, because I got fourth in Cozumel in 2016, I knew top four was realistic for Texas. And so that's one reason I signed up.
And they took four, they took five. How many did they take in Texas?
They took four in my age group, and I ended up third.
Okay.
And so setting that realistic goal, I knew it was a realistic goal to sign up for Texas to get top four, no matter what.
And you're 40 of 44 age group?
Yeah, I'm 44.
How do you find the women's field in that age group? How competitive, and what are the most competitive age groups for women?
It's way more competitive than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And at that specific race, the 45 to 49 age group was more competitive, faster. So they had faster times than the 40 to 44 age group. Hmm. Knowing myself, women peak in their mid 30s. I mean, that's when I peaked in 2008, I was 35 or 36. And I think I held on to my peak for a couple of years. And then I'm kind of at a plateau in my life. I still think I set new PRs every decade. So I have my age 30 to 39 PRs. Now I have my age 40 to 49 PRs. And so I think the most competitive, I think every year, the 35 to 45 age group is so, they're all strong. I think it's hard to tell the difference between, is it 35 to 39, 40 to 44, or 45 to 49. Those three age groups are all pretty even. I'm going to give it to the younger ones, the 35 to 39, but there's a lot of women in their 40s, myself included, who are still competitive with those 30-year-olds, which I'm pretty proud of too.
Where does coming out first out of the water in your age group in Kona rank in your proud moments in triathlon this year?
I'm pretty proud of that. I think I've always won my age group in almost, if not every race except Texas. I was not first out of the water in Texas. It was a little bit disappointing for me. I didn't have a strong swim in Texas, but I believe, at least for every Kona, mm-hmm. I've always come out first in my age group in Kona.
If not, pretty darn close.
I'll have to go back to those nine when I was racing Kona in the 90s, because that was so long ago. I didn't keep track back then. But not only winning the 40 to 44 age group out of the water in Kona, but I did 56 minutes. So my first Ironman, I did 57 minutes in Kona. That was 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I like to just say I still got it and I'm in my 40s.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anywhere close to within a minute from 20 years ago, because, you know, who knows if the how close the course was in distance, but to be within a minute, heck yeah.
Yeah, I still got it. So it's pretty proud.
Darn right you do. So how many races did you do this year? Triathlons.
Three.
Just three?
I didn't race a lot. I did Texas, I did Kona, and I did four. I did Texas in April. I did the Chattanooga 70.3 in May.
Yeah.
I did the Chattanooga 70.3 World Championship in September, and I did Kona in October.
Nice. Nice little split between World Championship races and normal 70.3s and full Ironmans.
Yeah, it was definitely a decent year.
And did you do any, you've done a number of little 5Ks, right, throughout the year?
Yeah, and I PR'd in my 40s. I did a 5K in Arizona when I went to watch Ironman Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a 1945. So a proud moment was I broke 20 minutes.
Yes.
I was pretty psyched about that. And again, it's my PR in my 40s.
Sure.
It's probably actually my third fastest 5K ever.
So physically, you are in stride.
To be in my 40s, I'm happy. Yeah. I'm running well. And that always really drives me, is when I'm running well and I'm healthy, it kind of motivates me to be like, okay, I'm going to do okay.
It's also been a pretty successful year as a coach and a producer of programs. I think we've rounded out every distance and almost every level for training plans this year through the Endurance Hour, T2 Coaching, and the T2 Endurance Club with four different levels of triathlon, the Sprint Olympic, half and full at the beginner and advanced training plan levels that you've created, a pair of running plans, half marathon and full marathon plans, your cycling programs, and then How to Swim Faster in 30 Days 2.0 was a big deal this year, at least as a coaching accomplishment, I think.
Oh, definitely. That was a fun program to put together the first year we did it. So to be able to come together and revise it and add more content and more education is a big deal. I like the education component of coaching. So I really like the programs we put together with all the video content we created.
I think we've produced, and I'm not kidding, hundreds of videos this year alone. If you combine the individual videos for the training plans and then all the different swim coaching analysis above and below water for some of the athletes, the running, treadmill running coaching that you've done for free. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And then also the Ask Coach Wendy's. My goodness. I think we'll probably have something new every day this year if you add them all together.
Yeah. You know, I find like if you're looking for an answer if you have a question and you're looking for an answer, we've probably answered it already. But we like to keep them coming, because we like to talk about it.
Yeah, if you have a question for 2018 or something we can produce before then, if possible, speakpipe.com is our dedicated online voicemail system, speakpipe.com/endurancehour. It's something you can leave us a voicemail from your phone or from your computer. It's free. It's like a 90-second time limit. Go on there, you press record. I think it just wants access to your microphone, and just leave a voicemail. And we've been answering those on the podcast and then also in video form as well. That's been a nice fun thing this year. And then our newsletter group, and you know, talking about that whole recap of 2017, it's been good to have a nice little newsletter group of hundreds and hundreds of people who are getting our content each week. And then our T2 Endurance Club on Facebook, which is your brainchild, is approaching, let me double check here, we're almost up to 300 members, which is a nice little dedicated group.
That's been growing steady each week, probably every day, especially in the last month or two. I've been adding one or two members a day. So mm-hmm. I like how steady that's growing. And because we ask questions to those who join before we accept them, we know where they're hearing about it, whether they're hearing about it from the podcast, from the newsletter, from Facebook, from friends, from other groups. We just had an athlete that we accepted in the group who heard about us from their Escape from Alcatraz group.
Yes.
So it's people who want to be there. It's not just one big, huge group that we're accepting anyone.
Yeah.
It's we're accepting people that actually want to be there for various reasons. And we're sharing information with each other. We're supporting each other. We're holding each other accountable, especially with all our little challenges we've had since the month of March, starting with our National Nutrition Month challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really fun. I like the social media part of the coaching and the educating athletes that I never even may meet in my life, but they value what we have to offer. So it makes us want to keep producing more stuff. All right, Dave, I shared my triathlon successes with you for 2017. What are some of yours?
I think my biggest success would be the fact that I was able to do a race in October when in the previous years I had kind of fizzled out and puttered out at the end of the year and kind of lost my training mojo. And this was one of the first years that I was able to complete the full season by pacing myself, mm-hmm. knowing that I wanted to do 70.3 Arizona in October. And that was the goal that I accomplished. And fortunately, I had one success I felt in the race is that I had a bike PR, whereas I guess I'm not surprised. I'm not a hot weather athlete, never really have been. And so my run suffered because of the heat. And I kind of had an idea that might be the case. My greatest, race, well, result-wise, was the half Ironman. The earlier part of the year, I think it was May, and it was a cold, cold, terrible weather day. And I had a great race because I stayed in the race the whole year, the whole race. Other people gave up and left the race. And I stayed in it, and I ended up getting first in my age group at a half Ironman distance, which was a big deal. Some of it wasn't as fun because people who are better than I was pulled out. If they would have stuck with it, they would have beat me. But you can only race whoever races.
Well, you beat them mentally because you stayed in. So let me ask you, did you reflect on looking back at previous years where you haven't lasted all the way through October? And looking back at this past year, what do you think the reason being? How did you pace yourself differently? Why do you think you were able to pace yourself? Or what changes maybe did you make to pace yourself this year than you've done in previous years?
Maybe I didn't go as hard as I could have mid-year, whereas I didn't take the other races as seriously, with those being the A races. My goal in the entire year was to finish the year, whereas in the past, I think I started strong. And I couldn't maintain that level of intensity through the entire year. Whereas this one was a gradual buildup, and I had that in mind. Before, I didn't really have a plan through the year. I had races planned, but I didn't really mentally plan for lasting the entire year. And so I did three half Ironmans, three sprints, I think, and one Olympic. And I had some podium success, which was a good year. And
that adds some build up your confidence.
It does. Sure. And I think it helps my confidence as a sponsored athlete. It's like, hey, look at me. I am actually doing well and, proving that I'm worthy of being on this team in some respects in my head. But the overall goal was to finish out the year. And I think what I learned about myself is that I'm good for about 6 to 7 weeks of training, probably max. Consistently, mm-hmm. I have a hard time maintaining. I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, but it's hard for me to stay consistent for 12 weeks. I think I can do 6 weeks, 7 weeks, maybe 8 weeks of straight focus training before I get burnt out or tired or lose that momentum.
And it's definitely I think an experience and personality that you figured all that out, but you're pretty fit. So it's not like you're just training 6 weeks to 8 weeks out of the year. I mean, you're maintaining some fitness with other cross training and other fitness activities you like to do, which I think is really important to the overall training plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like you're talking about that 6 to 8 week build is really good for you. So you maintain some base with other activities and then you can do that 6 week build up to your race to be successful.
Yeah. If I can stay focused and know what are the important weeks of training are, then I'll hit those hard. And I still have a hard time with the taper. Maybe it's just me. I almost stop altogether. I don't have a gradual taper because I wish I could just work. I could train right up until the Wednesday before the race.
Right.
And give myself just 3 or 4 days of relaxing, because I almost want to just stop because of that hard lead up.
Maybe you don't need a traditional taper like other athletes do. I think part of the experiences I've had over 26 years is what keeps me going is reflecting year to year, seeing what worked, seeing what didn't work, making some changes for the upcoming season, keep doing the things that I've been successful with, get rid of the things that I haven't been successful with, and change something. And then I kind of have fun, like, ooh, I'm going to change my training, whether it's do a traditional taper, maybe it's not taper at all. Mm-hmm. And let's race and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So one reason that I stay motivated with racing, because I tend to not enjoy the racing part of it, is I like to race to see if my training and my mental and physical preparation worked.
Mm.
So I just think it's important to do this reflection like we're doing, and I encourage everyone else to do it as well. Reflect, note down and write down things that absolutely you loved and enjoyed and you want to keep doing, and mm-hmm. and get rid of the things that you didn't and try something new. Those three things are important every year.
I think I've only had one real good training block before a race, and that may have been Arizona 3 years ago, the full distance Ironman, where I actually did all the training that was laid out for me. And so I have a hard time staying disciplined to the plan where it's like, I'm busy, or work takes a priority. And this year was kind of some of that, where I had work opportunities, so I had to skip my workout, and then I just, fingers crossed, that I'll do okay in the race, and mm-hmm. that I guess I could just fall back on some of the base fitness or athletic fitness I had. So I would, one of my goals, I think, would maybe for 2018, jumping ahead, is to follow a plan, be disciplined to follow the workout for 6 weeks. Because I don't know, maybe it's just me genetically, but I've been able to bounce back into shape fairly quickly, much to the dismay of my wife. Like, if I want to just lose my weight and see my abs, I can do that in 3 weeks. Boom, I'm back. Mm-hmm. Maybe the same thing with triathlon. If I give myself 6 solid weeks, I feel like I can be, you know, super good for who I am and be somewhat competitive. Whereas, I don't know, maybe other people take a little longer, or some people are just naturally gifted, can do it in less. I think that'd be one
right. And I think that's important. It just leads to why every training plan, I think it's good to have a personalized plan. Maybe the plans you've tried to follow just don't meet your time expectations or your current fitness expectations, and it's just not the right plan for you. And you're constantly able to kind of look at that plan and say, what was the reason your plan it 3 years ago worked? Mm-hmm. What's the reason it didn't work maybe this year? Because life changes year to year. Yeah. You know, some years I'm able to train more or less depending on what else I have going around in my life. I think it's important to fit my training, your training, anyone's training, fit it into your life. Don't try to fit your life into the training plan.
I completely say it's on my shoulders though. So even if a plan is laid out great, I still need to be mentally strong to get out and do the work. And if I can maintain that mantra, do the work, and the rest will take care of itself, then I think I'll be fine.
Have a strong why.
Have a strong why. Absolutely. Hey, 2018, a couple of bullet points that I know that you and I want to accomplish for our audience, for the athletes in 2018, is some training plans for free. Can you explain what you have already started creating, and that something that we're going to give away to our listeners and followers?
So we're going to have a handful, I can't say how many, 3 to 5, maybe more, mm-hmm. 8 week type programs. It's either going to be maybe an 8 week base for an Ironman, maybe an 8 week build for an Olympic, maybe an 8 week sprint distance, which we've already have, but we're kind of modifying it. Maybe it's going to be an 8 week, taper, or not 8 week taper, but maybe it's a 4 week taper for various distances of racing. So we're just kind of creating some free PDFs. These are going to be free because we're discontinuing our current PDF training plans for purchase to give away in 2018. So we would love your feedback if there's something that you have in mind. We're always looking for feedback. That's one of my goals for 2018, is to try to get more feedback and more input from our listeners.
Another thing that we're looking forward to doing, and that is some cross-training workouts, videos, and plans with the focus around TRX, because this is my flavor of the year, because I'm really discovering how beneficial and fun it is to use a TRX in my training. In the past, I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do with these suspension, you know, these straps? And that seems kind of hokey. But once I started doing it, I became a believer real quickly, and the results have spoken the truth to me that this is a positive, helpful thing. And as an aging athlete and just an overall endurance athlete, this type of cross training can be super beneficial. And that's where I'm going to lean on you to help create some of these plans that we will offer up to our athletes as well.
Right. So we're starting with like a 10 movement plan for swimmers, 10 movement plan for bikers, and 10 movement plan for runners. And then we're going to transition those into actual, you know, let's just say 15-minute workout that we're going to produce.
Right.
Of us doing the workouts that you can follow along with.
And the other thing on our list of 2018 goals is a higher frequency of podcast episodes with a little bit of a twist, meaning they're going to be a little shorter and more specific. And when we were talking about this off air, you made a really good point that sometimes you'll listen to a show based on the title of the topic, and these could be one topic episodes. Tell me what one of the shows you were listening to that you found helpful and easy to follow.
Right. So I follow two endurance podcasts. One is called Crushing Iron and one is called the Kona Edge. The Crushing Iron is usually about 45 minutes long. And sometimes in the show notes, I see a topic that they've talked about that I'm like, oh, I want to hear what their answer is. And I don't necessarily want to hear everything else they're talking about. So it's nice to be able to fast forward to the time within the podcast that they're answering the question. And then the Kona Edge tends to be, you know, little 5 to 10 minute educational materials where the host is interviewing an athlete that's been to Kona, and the athlete shares 5 minutes worth of nutrition content that has made them successful, or, you know, what has made them successful as an Ironman Kona run performance. So that's kind of different. So I've listened to so many variety of podcasts, we're going to, you know, kind of revamp what we offer at Endurance Hour. And again, we'd love to hear your feedback about it once we get it going.
And so examples of what she's talking about, let's say you want to have, say there's a topic of heart rate variability, and we can provide some feedback on why that's important for athletes, or how to prepare and handle post-race depression. Hey, because it's a real thing. Or 5 signs of overtraining, why athletes should keep a training log. Topics like that that can be focused and just full of valuable information in smaller chunks. So it could honestly be a 5-minute episode and something that you can really consume in smaller chunks. So let's say you're on a commute to the gym, or you're going to go swim, or maybe in between work or running errands. Like, oh, I want to hear this topic. And you can hear the whole thing within a matter of a few minutes and going, okay, now I can utilize that information or apply it to my training, my everyday life, whatever may be appropriate. And then you can just pick from that list. So the idea that I was telling Wendy about is like, let's maybe do, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, these shorter episodes, and make that kind of the blueprint for the program. Every once in a while, we may have longer episodes like we have in this year, whether race recaps or guest interviews. Sure, that's going to happen. But maybe we have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes that can be smaller and easier to consume.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to mixing it up. I like change. Change provides growth.
And that's what we're doing.
And growth provides success.
Hey, we'd like to hear your feedback. If you have just maybe some of the highlights of your 2017 year, do that inside the T2 Endurance Club Facebook group. Just like type it in, 2017 highlights or hashtag. I don't know, whatever you want to do, but just so we know what you're talking about. And share with us, you know, what you learned this year, learnings and reflections. I think it'd be kind of fun to see what you're doing.
For sure.
Okay, so we got some highlights from Wendy's race season, my race season, some of the goals for 2018, and let's kind of recap. This is going to be the final episode of 2017. Hoping you all enjoy your holidays and take time away and relax and figure out your why for 2018.
I like it. One last thing I'm going to point out is in the past years, I've always start the new year off with a word that I like to be the theme of my year.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about it. So right now, and I may have had this word in the past, but it's definitely something I'm always on the back of my mind is simplicity. Continue to keep living simply, less, anxiety driven activities, which I've already done for myself, less stress, creating the life that I want to live, trying to help others create that same life and have a good vision of where they want to see themselves 6 months, 12 months, 10 years from now. And just sharing how I've been successful at doing stuff like that. And, I think for me, it's just definitely living in the present and living very simply.
Good one. I like that, simply. Well, if you have a word for 2018, jot it down. Word of the year, or 2018 word of the year on Facebook. It's kind of fun to see that. All right. Well, for Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Thanks so much for listening to 2017, our year in review. Have a great rest of the year. We'll see you next year. Adios.
Adios.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
but up, baby, look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.